The place is Laguna Seca, a fast road course cut through the oak tree hills of California's Monterey Peninsula. Like the famous tracks of Europe and Great Britain, it demands the very best from the men who drive it. Over the past 15 years, it's become an important established circuit on the world motor racing scene. Monterey, a region graced with the quiet wild of the open west, hard by the Pacific surf that tempers its climate. Hello, I'm Keith Jackson. This division of the sport is Can-Am Racing, Canadian-American Challenge Cup. These are the muscle cars, 750 horsepower, hurtling at 200 miles an hour or more around the twisting road course. And it features an international galaxy of driving stars. Men like world driving champion Jackie Stewart, the Lolas, the McLarens, and of course the team McLaren that has dominated this particular side of automotive racing over the past few years. Men like Denny Hull and Peter Revson. The orange McLaren cars, built in England under impeccable standards set by the late Bruce McLaren, have dominated this series since it started. Today, here in Monterey, Peter Revson drives his lucky number 7 car in pursuit of his fifth Can-Am victory of the 1971 season, on his way to becoming the first American ever to win this series. 10 races spanning the North American continent annually since 1966. From Canada to Georgia, from the Finger Lakes of New York to the cornfields of the Midwest, then on to the Pacific coast, ending near the desert in Riverside, California. 10 races won every 2 weeks from June to October for a total purse of $1 million. A lot of cash, a lot of risk. You gotta be sure the bugs are all out. The three principals, Jackie Stewart, Peter Revson, and defending Can-Am champion, Dennis Hull. Three men in an all-out struggle for victory, and how they do it at Laguna Seca. The Can-Am racing machine is a hybrid, vastly different from one of the sedans you might find in the parking lot. As you can see, about 6 feet shorter than the standard American sedan. A streamlined race car is said to be slippery as it plows through the air. From in front, smaller frontal area means less air resistance. Height, 3 feet to 4.5 feet. And the racer's about 2 feet narrower. The sedan outweighs its sleek cousin by more than a ton. Engines, different placements, and vastly different output. Power-to-weight ratio pays off in top speed on a tight road course. A racer reclines at the wheel, a family car driver sits upright. A 10-to-1 price ratio, but the biggest difference, the talent of the man behind the wheel.
The car goes into the corner well.
Let's eavesdrop on Jackie Stewart.
As soon as you apply any power, it seems that it still has a jacking motion. You know, it still seems to bring the front end up and wash out. For instance, at a left-hander,
That one up there, it's
a left-hander. You go down the hill, you're lifting off, you're going into the corner, everything's all right. You then nearly get to the apex, you put your foot back on it, and it immediately seems to wash out. The front airfoil goes down, you get it into a corner, you've got the car lined up, something happens, and the reaction.
Jackie's quickness touches all sides of his character and helps form the distinct Stewart image, demanding as much from his designer, mechanics, and equipment as he does from himself. He can be very demanding, as well as charming and witty.
It's like a woman. It's only when she's angry does she show a real temperament. Was understeering bad, but you could also check maybe if they've rolled the tire. What's everybody else doing?
Revy's down to 59 flat.
Urgency and quickness, two prime features of Stewart's life. Yet he's capable of quiet reflection, too.
I think road racing's a thing for the youth of this country. I think they want it. I think they want independence. They want a personality. They want to associate themselves with something that they see as taking some intelligence, turning right as well as left, going uphill and downhill.
Stewart's going back out. More practice. It's called sorting out time. A good lap around the 1.9-mile course clocks just under 60 seconds. But for some reason, Jackie Stewart is overdue, as well as Denny Hull and England's Vic Elford.
Around, he can see all the waving flags.
Reports from out there are bad. An unidentified car has gone off the track, crashed at high speed. Carl Haas, manager and co-owner of Stewart's Lola team, is suddenly gripped with a fear familiar to all race car managers. His driver may be in trouble. It could be serious, even tragic.
On the left, in a cloud of dust.
Did they have contact any instructor?
No, no, no.
But they haven't identified one of them.
Your mind floods with grim pictures. You quietly wait for some kind of an answer.
And Danny and Jackie stopped to see if they could help him. You know, trying to get him out.
Yeah.
That's what Peter said up there.
Yeah. Is he all right?
I don't know, Carl.
Like so many, racetrack scares, concern, and worry are byproducts of missing information. The word passes, everybody is all right. And anticipation grows.
Okay.
Is it comfortable?
Yeah, fantastic.
Try that hard?
Eh? You came by me, man, you were trying.
Where was that?
This morning. You always
Throw
that hard?
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, I was doing sevens at the time. You want to see when I get there?
The driver is Peter Revson, new star in the ranks of international racers, one of the young lions. Off the track, he often pilots his own boat along the rugged California coastline.
This boat is the ragged edge. When you're way over your head, people say you're on the ragged edge. I've been frightened at sea once or twice, but never so frightened that I've lost my wits. I'm always able to negotiate the problem of the seas and get back to shore safely. So I enjoy it. I really, I like being out in the water. I think I get as much of a thrill out of going 25 miles on the water as I do doing 180 on a racetrack.
I'll tell you, I played... Where did I play last? I played so badly. I mean, I were all over the place. One minute I was slicing, and the next minute I was hooking. Let's agree, first of all, we're in Mulligan's.
Mulligan.
Yes, Mulligan.
A half hour from the track at Pebble Beach, site of this year's U.S. Open golf tournament, Stewart and Denny Holm in a friendly game of wit and drive.
Mulligan, Jackie, you're going to hit another.
I haven't decided yet.
Stewart, on the go. He's always keyed up. He's on all the time. Denny's less dramatic.
So here we go again in a very fast part of the circuit.
Let's take a lap with Jackie Stewart at Laguna Seca in a 1922 Rolls Royce. And listen.
The big idea in a racing car today is not to disturb it too much. Don't give it any abrupt changes of direction. Try and be as gentle and as soothing to the car as can be. That way it helps you. This, in my mind, is one of those trickier corners of the racetrack. You can't go into this one too early. If you go into it too early, you come out early. And, of course, then you'll go onto this black and white checkered stuff here, as we're doing now. You can hear the vibration in the car. Now, that same vibration takes place in a racing car. And, of course, there's a big drop-off on the right-hand side with a lot of trees. Not very good, in fact, as far as track safety is concerned, and this is something that I've recommended they do. A very big drop-off there. This would be a big accident if anyone ever went over there. But, again, this is a very fast section. You're going to this, you pass cars going up this section. And pressing the rise here is quite difficult in braking, because you brake here, you change from fourth gear into second gear, and now the car's up in its suspension, and therefore the brakes aren't biting into the road just as well as they would normally do in a flat piece of road.
What's it like to change the old Rolls Royce into Jackie Stewart's brand new Lola? Look, feel for yourself.
This is a very tricky part, really very steep here.
A significant comparison between the Rolls and Lola is steering geometry and handling. Ponderously, like an ancient ship, the Rolls heels into Laguna Seca's turn 9. And in contrast, watch Stewart's Lola in a beautifully controlled four-wheel drift through the same turn.
We're down here now. We're in second gear, third gear, holding third gear all the way up here, getting the checkered flag.
Now it's race day. Sunday, 30 drivers, cars, ready for the 90-lap dash over Laguna Seca's winding road circuit, an event sanctioned by the Sports Car Club of America. What's it like to be in Jackie Stewart's shoes for that walk from his trailer to his car waiting on the grid? Attached to Stewart's helmet, our ABC camera sees what he himself sees in these final moments before the race.
I can't really get uptight and annoyed with people, because if I do that, I'm not driving and giving myself the opportunity to be totally relaxed to the motor car. There's got to be a relationship with the motor car. And therefore, if I really do get annoyed or in a state of anxiety, I don't seem to be able to communicate with the car as well as I would be if I were getting into this animal or car and trying to be and trying to mold myself totally into its personality.
Work your way to your car. Inside it, find the brief sanctuary that is so essential. Only a few do well here, and they know who they are. In the seven car, Peter Revson, his teammate, Denny Hull, and the persistent pursuer, Jackie Stewart. The end of the pace lap at Laguna Seca as 30 Can-Am cars edge toward a flying start in front of the pit. In the race, the pattern begins to form. The competitive triangle of Revson, Hull, and Stewart. One, two, three. In Stewart's pit, co-owner Carl Haas calls signals with plus and minus figures on the lap board. In the McLaren pits, team manager Teddy Mayer calls the strategy. Stewart's board will tell Jackie he is 1 second behind the car ahead, Dennis Hull. 4 seconds ahead of the car behind him, David Hobbs.
I think you have to try to get by somebody under braking, or you've got to pass them on acceleration. Because if you wait to get a run at them on speed alone, you won't do it.
In the midst of the race, speed sometimes becomes hypnotic. Something like a frustrating dream where the harder you run, the slower you seem to go. This is where driver talent either takes command or suddenly fails.
Can-Am Racing hasn't yet got itself into a position where it has a tremendously high standard either of machinery or driver talent, in the sense that the fastest cars in the Can-Am are very competitive cars, well-prepared cars, really up-to-date and modern in every respect. But the back end of the field, the tail runners, are made up by relatively ancient machinery, with either very inexperienced drivers or people who only want to come in to participate just for the fun of it.
This part of Can-Am Racing is not fun. It could have been serious. People could have died. But injuries to the driver and the few spectators involved are minor. Precautions pay off. For others, racing luck runs out. In the case of car number 55, a spin stalls the engine. Or with another car, broken throttle leakage. One of the victims, Englishman David Hobbs. On the course, Stewart has passed Denny Hull, and he's running second, putting the pressure now on that leading orange number 7 McLaren of Peter Revson. Revson, lucky 7, moving fast in traffic on the short straight coming off the hill. The red car, it bumps, revs inside, loses control, hits another car, and is off the course. Hiroshi Kazada in the red Lola has damaged the McLaren's door, and Revson will have to come in for repairs. Depending on the quickness of his pit stop, Jackie Stewart could take the lead.
Hiroshi went over the corner.
What happened?
Hiroshi went over this corner, back down into the ditch.
Revson enters the pits, coming in with only a half-minute lead on Jackie Stewart. The Lola flying as Jackie Stewart closes the gap. And let's look again at the incident on the hill. Hiroshi Kazada's left front fender strikes the orange McLaren and pops open Revson's door. You see Kazada losing control of his car, brushing the other car, his wheels locked, braking, trying to find his way out of the tangle, and he slides to a stop on the edge of the course, out of the race, with a damaged suspension. Meantime, door repaired. Peter Revson blasts out of the pits. 12-second stop. Jackie Stewart, for the first time in this race, with less than 30 laps to go, has his first real chance to give Revson a run for the finish line. When Jackie Stewart gets it on, pressing his car to its limit, there are few people in the world who can match his driving style and ability, and right now, Jackie Stewart is on it. Revson streaks by with a Hornet on his tail. Stewart just 9 seconds behind the Orange 7. Both men pushing their cars to the limit in the final laps of the Can-Am race at Laguna Seca. Two laps to go. The gap between Jackie Stewart and Peter Revson has stretched to more than a half a minute. Revson squeezing literally every ounce of power and speed out of his number 7 car. Suddenly, with no warning, smoke pours from the engine. Is Lady Fate about to change partners? For the second time, Jackie Stewart may have a chance to win it all. Peter Revson trailing oil smoke like a low-flying skywriter, something broken in his power plant. With every jab at the throttle, every shifting point, more engine oil goes up in smoke. Engine friction increases, doubles. Doubles again. His car loses speed. Behind him, Stewart pushes harder and harder. For Peter Revson, the lingering question, how long will the hot engine run? But somehow the engine holds. Revson gets the black flag, telling him to stop in the pits the next time around, which will be the final lap. If he stops, he will lose. Jackie Stewart has closed to 9 seconds, and now with Revson black flag, Stewart will be the winner. McLaren team manager Teddy Mayer is fighting mad, claims Peter Revson was not dropping oil on the track, just blowing smoke. Chief Steward Burl Stanfield replies, there is no argument. The black flag has been shown, the rule must be upheld. But on the track, still lapping slower cars, Peter Revson drives toward the finish line. The checkered flag. It's waved for Jackie Stewart. But wait. It is Revson rolling car number 7 into the victory circle.
Hey, Carl, how about holding up the awards until it's settled, huh?
Who has won the race?
We don't hold it up until it's settled.
You what?
We don't hold it up.
Well, you gave him the checker as the winner, didn't you?
We may have one of the more confusing and controversial finishes in Can-Am history.
He black flagged them twice.
He was a lap late with a checker.
He got the checker flag.
He was a lap late with a checker as well.
Still, it's officially settled. We got to go through it like this.
Champagne Peter Revson will pay a $250 fine for ignoring the black flag, but he'll keep the win, and team manager Mayer will pay the fine.
We broke a rain there so well in the exhaust pipe that was down on the ground.
Oh, he's just a lot of smoke.
And a final point for Peter Revson from Chuck Parsons.
I missed the checker. I didn't see a black flag.
I was right behind you. I couldn't see nothing.
I couldn't see anything.
I have got one bit of oil on my face. You, my father.
Oh, there's no oil coming out of the car.
There was oil pressure.
There's nobody with the sun up there.
If there was oil coming out of the car, there would have been oil flags around the car.
Nobody with the sun up there could tell what this flag was.
I think so. Nobody hot there, the other that. Hello. Where did you come from? What's your name?
Say Hughes.
Say Hughes.
Hughes.
Really? And how old are you?
Five.
I've got a little boy who's five. Yeah, I'm going to think I'll bring him around for you.
Jackie Stewart shows no frustration from his near victory here at Laguna Seca. This race is gone. There's a plane to catch, another race to run somewhere. He gave it his best shot. He lost to a man who rolled a seven.
Congratulations on your win.
Well, you can take the finest minds, the finest drivers, make it into the finest racing team. But you never really know when you've got Lady Fate's hand in yours, do you? The executive producer of ABC Sports is Rune Arley. A checkered second, Can-Am Racing with Jackie Stewart was produced by Ned Steckel. Today's program was directed by Bryce Wiseman, written by William Edgar. ABC's Championship Auto Racing Series continues 1 week from today from the Southwest, Phoenix International Raceway. Out of the Arizona desert will come the roar of USAC Championship race cars and the unmistakable personality of three-time Indy winner A.J. Foyt, driving one of the country's most unforgiving tracks. One tough Texan, A.J. Foyt at Phoenix, next Sunday at 5:30 Eastern, 4:30 Central Time on most of these ABC television stations. Listening to 850 horsepower, muscle enough to power a race.